The views and opinions expressed by the Should They Watch It podcast are those of two moms who happen to be a registered play therapist and a voice actor for cartoons. So while they may feel their opinions come from a knowledgeable place, they are still, in fact, just opinions. Should They Watch It? A podcast that takes the task of reviewing your kids' favorite shows off your to-do list. Hello, and welcome to Should They Watch It? I'm Kara Edwards.
And I'm Laura Orr.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh my gosh. I have probably never been so excited to sing a song. So shall we?
Da 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 da.
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 Oh yeah.
The creepy and the geeky. I kept singing this to Michael, and then at the end of the movie he was like, oh, that's actually their song.
That is their song.
Why did you think I kept singing it to you all day?
Did he think you made it up?
I don't know. But he was like, oh, it all makes sense now, Mom.
It was all tied together.
Oh, good little man.
At the end.
Yeah.
Nice little weird bow.
So we're going to be talking about the brand new Addams Family 2 movie.
But before we do that, how you doing, Kara?
I'm good. If you guys hear weird little noises or you hear me fidgeting and fighting, we do have a foster dog this week.
Yes,
there is a little dude who has come to chill with us for the week, and he's the sweetest.
I love
strangest.
Him. I actually love him, but I know exactly what you're saying. This is a special dog.
He is a special. He is actually the sweetest. Zach described him perfectly.
Yes,
he did. If you gave a kid a crayon and told him to draw a dog, and then you brought that dog to life, it would absolutely look like this dog.
Yep.
He's some sort of like poodle dachshund mix.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a really weird long body.
Yep.
A really big head.
Mm-hmm.
He's got poodle hair and a little curly poodle tail.
Yep.
But.
And he's got, his eyes are a little bit.
Kind of far apart. And they're super
the
human.
Gaze, yeah. The gaze,
he has like a human look to him. Yes.
Well, and his name is so appropriate. Its name is Falcor. But I don't know if you can picture Falcor in your mind, but he's a dragon dog hybrid.
Yeah.
And so he has that long body too, because dragons have long bodies. And that is, it's just so appropriate
this is Falcor.
For this dog. Yes.
In fact, when the rescue group was like, can you just take him for a few days while we find his forever home? And I'm like, yeah, sure. What's his name? Falcor? I lost it.
You did? Oh,
They're
yeah.
like, you could call him whatever because he's not really answering to anything yet. And I'm like, oh no, it's Falcor.
Oh, he's not answering. So this wasn't the name
no,
that he was.
Nobody knows he was abandoned. They found him in an apartment complex. He was covered in burrs. They had to shave him down. That's why his fur's all kind of wonky. Oh. No, he's had like the roughest start. He's had two abandonments that we're aware of.
Oh,
and
poor baby.
He
is so sweet, though.
He's a sweet. I cannot wait to find the family that is going to love on him forever, because he's honestly the sweetest dog ever.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit with our family.
He's a weird dog.
He's a little weird.
But I kind of love it, though. I don't know. I'm such a dog person that he's giving Kara kisses right
yeah.
now.
He's very, yeah. he got attached really fast. I'm guessing his first love was female. Because he got attached
totally.
Very quickly, and he follows me everywhere. He does not. He loses his mind if I get out of his sight. So that's been a little much. We won't be able to keep him, but I do want to just find him the best little home because he's sweet.
He's awesome. Yeah, and in the meantime, he gets to hang out with us while we're
yeah. In the meantime, he's going to be in here so that he's not howling in another room because he can't see me. So
yep,
he's going to
exactly.
Chill.
Yeah,
Kara,
where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't warmed up to me yet, but that's okay.
It was just so funny because I thought for sure, because I was like, oh, Laura's going to walk in here and he's going to be all over. He just hasn't, like yesterday he decided he was scared of me. And I'm like, really, dude? I thought that's weird. But then it lasted like 20 minutes. And then he was like, I'm just kidding. We're best friends. Never leave me again. So he's just had a hard little
He's
life.
Got anxiety. And that's probably why his memory is so bad.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, but he likes it here. He and Michael have totally bonded. They're like, yeah.
Good.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of Michael, I have a quick Michael story.
Tell me.
Okay. So, because this has been cracking me up all morning. So this morning, I take Michael to school. We typically walk to school with some of our friends.
Okay.
That we meet up with, and the kids can hold hands and walk into the school together. This morning, our little friend was at the doctor.
And so just for a checkup. Okay. So she wasn't there for Michael to walk in with. And he kind of started having like, well, I have to walk in with someone. And I was like, well, I'll hold your hand, dude. I'll walk you to the door.
Yeah.
Parents can't go in the building right now, but I can walk you to the door. We go to a school where the principal stands outside of the door and actually like greets every kid that walks up by name. So every... Hold on. We're going to take a break because I'm really nervous right now.
No, I'm so sorry.
About to go to the bathroom.
No, he's giving me kisses on my hand.
He's kissing your hand. I thought he was going to pee.
I'm sorry. Kara saw a look on my face. And I think she thought that
he cannot pee in my studio.
She thought something bad might be happening. Falcor. But really.
Falcor, come here, baby. Falcor, you're making me nervous.
He just gave me a ton of kisses. So I think he's officially. Yeah, he's officially warmed up to me. Kara saw a look on my face.
I'm like, is he about to pee?
Yep. Nope. It was just him giving me kisses.
He's still a little nervous in a new place.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Continue. So their principal was at
the... Okay, so the principal greets every kid that comes to the door and they give them hand sanitizer when they walk in. So I was standing close to Michael and he walks up and he says something to the principal. And I'm like, did I just hear him say what I think I just said? And the principal kind of just looked at me and looks back at Michael and is like, yes, Michael, this is the hand sanitizer that has the moisturizer in it. What? And I'm like, what? And so apparently, and I'm looking at our principal and he's like, are you unaware that Michael was refusing hand sanitizer because he said it was drying out his hands? And he requested that we go get some that has moisturizer in it. So the school had to go buy new hand sanitizer, like a completely different brand of hand sanitizer, so that Michael would put it on his hands, which is required to walk into school. I just stood there, like, partially super proud of my little bohemian kid that wants to make sure his skin looks good.
Yes.
And also, like, sorry.
No, you should not be sorry. He is an advocate because you know that he is not the only student struggling with dry hands. Daphne's hands were peeling and cracking.
Oh, baby girl.
I mean, as we all know, we've had to take extra precautions during COVID.
Right.
To, you know, keep ourselves safe and healthy. And one of the things that they have to do at the schools more is wash their hands, like, all the time. Regiment. You know, it's a regiment now.
No, and they were getting dry.
The cracked. Like, almost bloody. Yeah. And so we had to get, you know, really super moisturizer. Like, really strong super moisturizer.
Stop.
Falcor's being mischievous again. Sorry, everybody. This is going to be hilarious. So that, you know, so anyways. And then she had to take some to school. So, really, they should have thought about that ahead of time. I'm calling out the school.
Okay. Well, then good. Yeah. I'm glad for my advocate child.
Heck yeah.
He was not advocating for anybody sure but himself.
All the kids are thanking him right now.
Oh, that's so funny. I just was sitting there like, to have this little child walk up and be like, sorry, is that the one with the moisturizer in it? Because I don't want to use it otherwise.
Well, and I have to know how many times he's been asking for it before.
Apparently, like, it's a thing. Because the principal literally looked at me and he's like, you're not aware of this? Like, this is a thing. Like,
this has been going on a while.
Yeah, this is a very big deal where he will not wash his hands or do anything or put on antibacterial unless...
Listen.
You know?
He is speaking up for himself and for the other kids at that school. I'm telling you, this is awesome.
Okay.
You should be proud.
Go, Michael, go. I am proud.
What's next is my question.
Oh, that.
Y'all are about to have organic food at the school.
Well, you know he's vegan right now.
What?
Yes.
Vegan?
Yes. He is.
Oh, I knew he wasn't eating meat.
Yeah, he stopped eating meat. And then he was like, what's the difference between being vegan and being vegetarian? So I explained it. And he's like, I think I'd rather be vegan.
What?
But then he's also like, I think he's vegan the way a lot of people might be vegan.
Okay.
In the fact that it's like, I'm vegan. And he's like really loud about it. And he tells everybody. And he'll even sometimes he'll be like, I'm an herbivore. I'm not a carnivore or an omnivore because I eat plants. But then he's like, but I want the pepperoni pizza tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's like vegan, vegan in only in verbal ways.
So he... Wait, so is he not trying to eat less meat? Or is he just labeling himself a vegan?
It kind of just depends on what it is. Because if it's pizza, he wants pepperoni.
And cheese.
And so I'm like, but then he'll say, I don't eat cheese. And I'm like, cool, because you're definitely eating pizza with cheese on it. And he's like, right now. okay.
Okay.
Because you know that means you're, and he's like, today I'm an omnivore.
Okay. Okay. So it just depends on the mood. Okay. You know what Jared Leto calls that? A cheegan. It's a cheating vegan.
Okay.
Yeah. So somebody
he's
who.
A cheegan.
Yeah. Okay. Cheegan. I think that that's totally interesting. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but he's exploring.
I mean, okay, quite frankly.
He's very young.
He's my clone.
This is awesome.
He's my clone. This is all it is he's going to be me. He's going to do weird diets. He's going to walk around with his healing beads. He makes his own jewelry. There's no question I'm raising my clone. So.
Well, so what's an example of a vegan dish that he would eat?
So his lunch that I prepare every day has to be the same every day. There's only one thing that is prepared in my house, and it is a peanut butter and honey sandwich.
That's not vegan.
He's very particular about his, I know, he's cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
Okay. He wants his vegetables, there's only two. He wants red peppers, which he eats like apples. And he wants carrots.
Wait, a whole red pepper?
Yes. I cut it up so it fits in the little lunch container.
Uh-huh.
But he eats like insane amounts of red peppers every day.
Okay. Okay.
And then he wants his fruit, but he's particular about that too, which is watermelon, raspberries, grapes. What are the other things that are allowed? That's kind of it. And then he wants a package of apples, sliced up apples.
Every day?
Yeah. And pretzels and honey grams and two mini chocolate chip cookies.
Dang. That's a lot of food.
And he plows through it every day.
Really?
Yes. Every day. My tiny little child eats more food than anyone I know.
Wow. That's interesting.
That is his.
Okay. So that's his lunch.
Specific, very specific lunch. But we do a lot of pastas because I, you know, I grow basil. So we make our own pestos and veggies. But he's a veggie. He's always been a fruit and veggie eater.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Mine's the opposite, but that's okay.
Yeah.
My oldest actually grew up vegan the first 2 years of her life. And then it all just kind of went downhill after that once she stopped looking at me to be the one to feed her.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of started developing her own
tastes
and looking at what Jeremy was eating, my husband was eating. And now she kind of eats what she wants and I let her.
Okay.
Yeah. The first 2 years I was the heavy influence on her diet because I value limiting
vegan
animal products. Yeah. And but, you know, I also have to let her be who she wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I noticed her kind of developing her own voice and tastes, I just kind of let her do her own thing. Last thing I want to do is
force her to do something like,
force my ideals on her. She'll grow into her own, you know, opinions and beliefs and all that stuff. So
if you need someone to influence, my son is open as long as pepperoni pizza is still on the table.
Well, that is one thing they have in common. We'll just say that. Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love watching our kids explore who they are.
Yes.
Because that's definitely that's definitely what he's doing when
he's insisting on moisturizer and the hand sanitizer.
Yes. And like, who am I? Like, what we put into our bodies is such a huge expression of who we are, I feel like, and how we, I don't, anyways.
You know,
I could talk about this for a while.
Did I tell you that, because I write him a note. I write him a note in his lunch every day. I am. He has started making me write notes for his friends because he started noticing that his friends weren't getting notes in their lunches.
Uh-huh.
And one friend in particular, he was like, Mom, like, he eats the school lunch. And I'm like, yeah, baby, most kids do. A lot of kids do. And he's like, that means he's not getting the note. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And he's like, he started making me write the kid notes, which I felt uncomfortable about because I was like, is this appropriate? I don't really know this kid. So I write him a note where I write his name and then I'm like, happy Monday, happy Tuesday. I didn't write one yesterday. And he came home and was like, you really upset him.
Wow.
Can you please make sure that note is in there tomorrow?
Oh my gosh.
He felt really bad all day because of you. And I'm like, oh my God.
Whoa.
So I feel really weird. I'm writing a kid I don't know. I don't know his family.
Oh,
I don't know.
Michael the Advocate. That's another example of him being like a big advocate. You're in for it.
I'm in for it.
He's going to be like pointing out injustices, perceived injustices at any point that he can.
Yeah, loudly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're like a room mom, but like in a different way.
In a really weird.
But instead of like bringing cupcakes, you bring emotional validation. I don't know.
Happy Wednesday. Happy Friday.
That is really sweet.
Hope you have a good day.
Oh my, you've got to figure out a way to streamline this, though, because I can't see you doing this all year. Every year for
it's going
to
get really weird. You know, I've started just writing kids jokes.
Oh.
Yeah, I just found a website with a bunch of kids jokes. And now I just write a joke on Michael's note every day because.
That's cute. Yeah, I like that.
He has too many opinions and I gave up.
Yeah, he definitely has feedback about what he wants in your.
Yeah. Okay, I could talk about Michael all day. Should we talk about
we should.
Other children?
I know.
All right, we should dive into this.
Okay. Snap. Okay, so today we're talking about Addams Family 2. Before we dive in, shall I provide a brief history of the Addams Family?
Yes,
because
please.
This has roots, this show or movie, dating back to 1938. I got this information from Dan's Media Digest, by the way.
Okay.
So this, the Addams Family started as a comic in the New Yorker in 1938, created by Charles Addams. This guy was an eccentric dude. That's all I'm going to say. He was a wild dude, in my opinion.
Okay.
He got married in a pet cemetery, for example. I actually started having a crush on this guy when I was reading about him.
Okay.
He was giving me like major Gomez Addams vibes. I think that was probably intentional. The comic the comic kind of had like a true to life type of vibe to it as far as his personality and Gomez's personality.
It was very, what is the word for that?
What is that? He inserted his personality, I believe, into Gomez's character, I guess is what
projecting?
I'm trying to say.
Projecting? Yeah. He projected his no, there's a better word.
There's
for
another
it,
word. Yeah. But that's what I think he was doing, and that art imitating life type of thing. Though he wasn't as campy as this family, obviously. But anyways, the comic was later adapted into a television show in 1964, where it ran for 2 seasons.
Okay.
Did you watch that TV show?
The Addams and the original Addams Family in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Okay, what did you think of it?
I loved it. I mean, I watched it all the time. I loved the original one. Yeah. I liked the charismatic dad. I liked the mom. Yeah. I liked all the silliness in the show. It was never scary for me. I always just thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really liked it too. I thought it was super fun. I remember watching it. I don't remember what it was on, but I remember really enjoying it. And so since then, and throughout the years, that has been adapted into a variety of show.
Oh, okay.
Two different cartoons, a reunion special with the cast of the show from the 1964 show, a movie in the early 90s, which is the one that I watched pretty religiously, the one with Raul Julia and Angelica Houston and Christina Ricci and Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it. I didn't watch it that much.
Oh, really?
I remember. Okay. I mean, it was fun and I saw it. I definitely watched the original show more than I did the movie.
Okay. That's good to know. I watched the first, that movie in the 90s and the sequel. I could probably at one point have quoted it word for word. Yeah,
okay.
that was on regular rotation at my house.
It's funny that doesn't surprise me at all.
No, does it?
At all.
Really?
No. I don't know why. Because you're not Wednesday Addams-ish, but I just,
It's funny you say that, though. I related to Wednesday Addams.
I can see, that's what I was going to say. You're not that personality, but I see you being very, like, someone after my own heart.
Well, I think we've talked about this before on the show that I grew up watching horror movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of my
it's up your alley.
My niche, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And Halloween's my favorite holiday. So anyways, then there was also a movie that I do not remember in the late 90s that starred Tim Curry and Daryl Hannah as Gomez and Morticia.
I feel like maybe I vaguely remember that.
You do?
Maybe.
Didn't watch it though, did you?
No.
Okay, yeah, me neither. And I love Tim Curry, so that was
a
shock.
Tim Curry, yeah.
Speaking of horror, he's like in all the good ones. So there was another TV show in the late 90s a musical in 2010 starring Nathan Lane.
Oh.
Which I thought was interesting.
Okay. I definitely didn't see that.
No, yeah, I didn't either. Love him. And now there's an animated movie. With the first one was released in 2019, and now this one in 2021, and that is what we're covering today, Addams Family 2.
The second one. Did you see the first one?
I did not.
And I did not either, and I'm wondering if it would have helped me get through number two, if maybe number, I mean, I feel like there were gags in number two that were probably covered in number one that would have made,
okay,
and we'll dive into that in a second, but okay. I feel like at some point I want to go back and watch number one.
Really?
I do, just because I want to see if maybe it helps. I guess we should start with our big question on this movie before we dive into what it is.
Yeah.
Is Laura, should they watch it?
No way.
No way.
I am going to say no.
I gotta die.
And I really have a hard time saying no. If anyone, I don't know if you catch on to that. I try to find ways that a movie or show can fit into someone's viewing experience or whatever, but I'm going to say no on this one. What about you, Kara? Should they watch it?
So I don't have a hard time saying no, so no.
Yeah, you have no problem saying no, I feel like, on this show.
Which really actually hurts my heart because I have friends that are in this show.
Oh.
And that are voice actors. And one of my friends in particular is one of kind of a big deal character. And I want so badly to say absolutely yes, because the voice acting, I will say, is spectacular.
Who's the voice actor?
It's a friend of mine, Jeremy. Jeremy Lee, I have known her since she was a little girl. I was one of her first directors at Disney. And she has gone on to have an amazing career. She voices Ophelia, the daughter of the strange.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, that we meet towards the end of the movie. And she does such a great job in this role. And so I want so badly to say, to cheer this movie on. I will say Michael loved it.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Michael cackled through this entire movie. At the end of it, I asked him, okay, I was like, I'm going to be recording a podcast about this. So what are your, you know, give me a synopsis.
Yeah.
And I wrote down his quote and he said, some parts were cute. Like when that white girl twisted the doll and made that kid do all that stuff. But really, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Oh.
That's his quote.
You know what, though? That does not surprise me, because I think what he is saying is that the action was funny. And I would agree with that.
Yeah. Like, there were some little quippy moments in there that were really funny.
Yeah, there were. I think those quippy moments will go over a lot of children's heads.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they were there. They were there. And I think the action was funny enough to keep a kid's attention.
Yeah.
At some points. But I don't know.
I wish.
Do we want to? Let's.
That's what I was going to say. And let's dive into the synopsis of it, of what the movie's about, because I think that's where my disappointment begins.
Okay. Let's also talk about the cast, though, because when you talked about the
Jeremy,
this is a star-studded cast that has Oscar Isaac as Gomez. If nobody knows that name, he just went viral with Jessica Chastain for kissing her arm on the red carpet.
Yes, that is him.
Hubba Hubba is all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Charlize Theron is Morticia.
Which is amazing.
And she's great. She's so good.
Because sometimes celebrities aren't the best voice actors. And in this case, cannot say that. She was spectacular. Yeah.
She's a great actress.
Yep.
And you don't know that it's her unless you look, you know, you do
I was shocked.
Yeah. I saw her once.
Did you?
Yep. She was at the mall that I was at. She's so tall.
I was going to say, she is beautiful. Yep. She seems like she would be.
She was just a tall presence that you could not help but stare at. Anyways, Chloe Grace Moretz is Wednesday.
Fantastic.
Nick Kroll is Uncle Fester, and he did amazing. Bette Midler was Grandma, which amazing. I don't know if it's pronounced Javon or Havon. Walton as Pugsley.
Yep.
Snoop Dogg as Cousin It.
A lot of fun there.
His voice is wild.
There's a lot of effect put on his
voice. Yeah, I found a clip of this, the scene that they put in the trailer on YouTube where they slowed it down and they played it forwards.
Like so you could actually hear it. Yeah.
And it sounds like he's saying Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Oh, he might be.
He might actually be saying, because what they do to his voice is they, it sounds like they're reversing it, right?
Yeah, they like reverse it and then they put a bunch of effects on it. Yeah. So it's like, rah, 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 like it has a...
It's wild.
Yeah, it's fun.
Conrad Vernon as Lurch. And then there's a couple other famous voices. Bill Hader and Wallace Shawn are in there as well.
No, so. Stars. And they're great. The voice acting truly is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those, I wish they had been given better...
content?
Everything.
Yes. So the premise is the family goes on a road trip, all while trying to avoid a lawyer who's pursuing them because the lawyer is hired by someone who believes that there's a chance that Wednesday might not actually be related to the family, to the Addams family. And there's a whole tangle web woven off of that.
Yeah. Okay. With the overall lesson of, you know, who is your family and what makes a family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, which is a beautiful message. Yeah. Like the end message is a lovely message. I did notice it had a 5.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yep.
And I was like, I agree with that. I agree with that number.
Mm-hmm.
There was, for me, there was a...
Where can you stream it? It's Amazon.
Oh, I got it on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. That's right.
I saw it. I think it was on Vudu as well, but we rented it on Amazon Prime.
And you can also go to the movie theater and see it.
Yes.
It's in theaters. Yeah. It's hour and a half long, thank goodness.
And it was $20 to rent.
$20 to rent. Yep.
I did. Got a little cringy.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one worth waiting until it's out.
A little bit longer.
Yeah. You know, that's my opinion.
Glad I didn't click the purchase option. Just say that.
Yes. No, I wouldn't. I did. We're good. We've seen it.
Who is the audience? It's rated PG.
Okay. So who is the audience? It's not going to be young kids. I feel like Michael handled it well. He got the jokes. He had a lot of fun with it. There was some cringy stuff in there that I didn't love. Definitely some references to drinking. Definitely Wednesday talking back to her parents and being very disrespectful, literally torturing her little brother, which as someone with new siblings that just became siblings last year, that's not a message that I want to be sending, because that is something we struggle with in my house, is brother, honestly, both siblings torturing each other any chance they get. So there were things I did not love Michael seeing.
Mm-hmm. That you thought he was too young to be seeing
it. I did. Or maybe just not ever, but definitely not at six. So I feel like maybe older kids... one I struggle with.
This is a struggle because I feel like
this might just be, just wait till you're an adult and then make your own decisions.
Maybe, but even then,
no,
like,
but
as
it's a kid movie,
it's a kid movie, and that's where I think the challenge is. And this was one of my bigger complaints was, so the version that I grew up with in the 90s is PG-13,
right?
And it's dark.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of blood. There's there is attempted murder between the siblings that go beyond, I think, what this one that we just watched was. It's PG-13 attempted murder. You know what I mean? Like, stuff where I watched it and I was like, oh, recently. And I was like, I cannot let Daphne watch this yet. This is too much. And you can see that in this movie, like you said, like she does throw him over Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know,
any
like that.
Opportunity to hurt him and torture him and embarrass him.
Yes. It was.
Yes.
It was a much more subdued version.
Yeah.
Of the one that I grew up with.
Okay.
And I feel like that is one of the problems with this movie is that they made it PG.
It doesn't feel PG to me.
I don't think the premise is PG. This is not a PG family. And so I think the big problem that I feel with this movie is that the people who made it wanted it to be accessible for younger kids. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't feel like a storyline that should be given to or presented to younger children, because these people are antisocial. They're the opposite of, they do the things that are opposite of what we would want right, to do to and be want presenting. Our kids, which is a funny concept. And I, if you're older, I mean, when I grew up watching the movie from the 90s, I remember understanding they are doing the opposite right. of what we should be doing. And I remember playing, pretending to be Wednesday Addams and being like, okay, so we should be doing this pro-social thing, but I'm Wednesday Addams, so I'm going to do the opposite. You know what I mean? So I understood that that's what that was. And so I didn't feel like it, like, corrupted me, if that
okay,
makes
so
sense.
Should we be, does that make should sense? We trust that, like, me letting my six-year-old watch this, that he understands this isn't normal or good behavior, and I get that this is a weird family doing weird things.
If you worry that your kid's going to misinterpret the message, it's definitely something that you can bring up, right?
Yeah. Wow, that's terrible. The way she treats her brother is terrible.
Yeah, or just like you see that. Do you understand this family? Do you understand the joke?
Right.
Do you understand why this is funny? Because they're not supposed to be doing it. This family is so different from everybody else because they do the opposite of what everybody else does. And that's what makes it funny.
Right.
Right. But do you understand that this isn't something that people should be doing? You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can have that conversation. I don't know. I just think as far as entertainment goes, this...
That's literally what just was going through my head as you were saying that is, like... I feel like I would be more forgiving of a lot of these things that are a little cringy, like, oh, I don't want Michael to see that or behave like that, if it was really entertaining.
Well,
that would just terrible to say, but I feel like if it were, if it had been a really fun watch, I found myself a little bored in parts.
I did too.
I absolutely found myself picking up my phone and checking email several times. And then reminding myself that I had paid $20. So daggone it, put your phone down and watch that movie. And so,
same. I was bored. I was boring. And it just didn't feel worth our time to watch something.
It did not to me either.
Yeah. Something that presents these types of messages in a way that's not even entertaining, like, what's the point?
Yes, that was a lot of, and again, Michael giggled and cackled and was engaged the entire movie. And I kept looking over at him like, really?
Huh. Yeah,
okay.
That was a challenge I had too when I was watching it, was, am I bored with this because I know how good it has been in the past?
Right?
Like, so if I had come into this never seeing any Addams Family before, would I find this enjoyable? Or because I have a history where I loved.
And, like, the chemistry between Gomez and Morticia. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday. Like, I found Wednesday to be a little grating, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I didn't find her to be funny and odd. Right. I found her to kind of just be a nightmare of a human.
Yeah, her the delivery wasn't that great.
And I kind of wanted Pugsley to turn around and, like, knock the crap out of her. And I... there was just a lot of moments that I was like, I really enjoyed the grandma and I really enjoyed Cousin It. Like, those little moments were really fun. Mm-hmm. I liked the traveling. The first part of the movie, they travel around the country and you can see different parts of the country. And there's lots of little Easter egg nods throughout the movie to previous things. If you go on the IMDb website, there's a trivia section and there's a whole list of Easter eggs throughout the movie.
Oh,
of like,
okay.
Oh, when they are drinking their cocktails on the. Oh, sorry, everybody. The sirens are going off.
Yep.
It's tornado testing here
every
in
time,
Texas.
Every
in
noon
Texas.
On Wednesdays, this happens. And it startles us every time we both
every
just
time
like,
we're
stop
like,
and
whoa,
look at each other.
What is that? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're testing the sirens. But when they like clink their glasses, there's a Bermuda Triangle on there, which is a reference to a previous movie.
Yes.
So there's lots of little fun things that they did. Mm-hmm, that you can
Uncle Fester got lost in the Bermuda
Triangle. Like, you can see that there was a lot of heart put into the animation. There's definitely heart put into the acting, which is spectacular. There's
I think they really had trouble, like I said, making this a PG movie. I really think that if they had made this PG-13,
I agree,
and they could have
maybe taken some of those things even further.
Yeah.
Yeah. They quite frankly, mm-hmm. yeah.
They could have taken more risks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think they did such a great job in the 90s version of it, because they could take more risks and they could be a little bit more dark and vulgar at times.
I agree.
But it worked.
I actually totally agree.
They had more wiggle room.
Yep.
But they don't when they're constrained by a PG rating.
You're exactly right.
So that's where my problem was with it. So I'm like, what's the point in watching it? There's no point. There's then, other movies to watch.
Yeah, they're not diving in. And there were, but it was just enough of those things, like in the very beginning when Wednesday is there, she's at a science fair and she's kind of mixing up this concoction with DNA and all this stuff, but she mixes it into a cocktail. And yep. like it's clearly yep. a martini, and I'm mm-hmm. kind of going, oh man.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of stuff like that where you're like, interesting.
But yeah, if they had kind of leaned into yeah. it, then it mm-hmm. would have been.
Yeah. Like there's that one scene where Wednesday tells Morticia that if Gomez were to die, she approves of Morticia taking on a new lover. And she says the word lover.
Yes.
So it's like, that was funny. I thought it was funny.
No, no, no.
I laughed.
There was the moment when she's on stage in the talent show when they're in Texas, and she dumps red paint all over all the mm-hmm. contestants, and they have this Carrie moment
yep.
where they're running through with like red blood is yes. what it's supposed to look. And I was laughing. There was, you know,
there's funny moments.
There was definitely some funny moments,
but they needed more of those moments.
Yes.
And the story itself to me was just silly. Like it was just, and I didn't find it interesting.
I didn't find it interesting. There was only one moment that Michael and I both actually laughed out loud. That was when Wednesday tells Lurch to show everybody what he's capable of.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it.
Use your hands or whatever.
For me, use your hands and show everybody what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. I felt that was the funniest moment in the entire movie.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was the one that actually made us both giggle out loud.
Yeah, I loved it.
So, outside of that, there was just a whole bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, ugh, Wednesday's a little too homicidal for my taste. Again, unless you lean into it fully, you're right. They made it the PG version mm-hmm. of a homicidal child.
Because Christina Ricci is a homicidal child.
Right. I was there for that.
It works.
It's
so
totally
well.
Worked for that.
Like the sequel, she goes to camp and she burns it to the ground. And it is hilarious.
Right. This one felt.
But this one just was not.
I didn't feel this one.
It
this
wasn't
one felt
working.
Felt strange.
It was not working.
It didn't
working.
Feel right. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting down with your kid and there's some part. There's moments in there where it's like, I don't know if I want a kid.
That's a little bit harder.
Yeah. And it just missed the mark. And I'm all for being weird and different. Obviously, the stuff that I adore when I come in here are the weird and different ones, but this one was not that.
This one didn't work.
And I understand wanting to sit down with your child and watch this. It's Halloween season, and you're thinking this would be perfect for the theme of the year, right? But this didn't even feel like a Halloween movie
it
to me.
It didn't. Yeah. I didn't feel, mm-hmm. I agree completely.
It did not feel like a Halloween movie. It felt like I was watching some weirdos travel across, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't into it.
I agree.
So I think we've answered the question of will parents like it? I think we've answered the question of whether or not kids will like it.
I think we've talked about what was problematic.
Yeah, I know, right? What I did like, there were, like I said, let's see.
The funny moments. There were definitely some funny, cute moments. There was.
I appreciated when they talked about the participation trophy.
That was funny.
That was funny.
There was a lot of like pop culture references. I thought it was funny how like everybody was taking selfies everywhere they went.
Yep.
Everybody had their cell phones. I liked the stuff with Snoop Dogg. Everything that.
And now you mentioned it when you say about people taking the selfies. One thing that I feel like they could have also leaned more into was showing how different they were from other people.
Oh, I agree.
There were moments, but it wasn't. It wasn't
blatant. Like, but you're right.
They didn't spend a lot of time developing the other characters outside of the circle. They did a little bit with the house party and grandma. A
little bit.
But even then, everyone was having a great time at the party.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to watch other versions of this, everyone would have been horrified. Yes, by what's going on at the show. Yes, and there wasn't as much of that. There was a little bit of it also in the Texas pageant.
Yeah.
But they just didn't do that as much either, which I think would have helped.
I agree.
Showing how oddball this family is.
I totally agree. I feel like we left it. This was Michael's first exposure to the Addams family. And mm-hmm. I feel like we left with him not knowing at all who the Addams family is.
Yeah, really, truly. They didn't succeed in showing that. I feel like the people who made this had a hard time with it.
I feel like it's, and it makes me want to go back. It makes me want to go back and watch the first one, maybe without Michael, and see, oh, like,
so good.
did we, and I'm meaning the first animated one to this counterpart.
You mean the comic?
Yeah, the one that this was the sequel to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to let you do that. I don't know if I have the patience for it, to be honest.
I'm curious of, like, where... Was this just a bombed sequel, or was the first one bad too? And
that's a good question.
Yeah.
I got to say, I know you've said that you liked the Snoop Dogg casting choice, but I did not.
You did not.
And here's my reason for it. Snoop Dogg is my generation.
Right.
And again, who are they making this movie for?
Okay, that's a good point.
Like, Snoop Dogg's great, whatever. But, like, my kid doesn't know who he is. And so... I felt like they used him more as like a gimmick.
Yeah.
They don't use his real voice. The only reason we know it's him is because people say that it's him, or not people, but like it's advertises him if you go on IMDb, and he plays his own music every once in a while in the movie. And so I felt like he was being used more to like drum up the movie and like psych it up or make it exciting, I guess. But he's not my... This is a PG movie, so this is for kids.
Right.
My kids don't know who that is. I feel like if they're going to put somebody in there that's a singer, I guess, if they wanted, they could do, like, Lizzo or, I don't know, Justin Bieber or The Weeknd, even. Like, somebody who's more current.
Yeah, all right.
That felt weird to me. And you know what? It also felt weird to me that Christina Aguilera was singing the song... The Addams Family.
That's who was singing it.
It was Christina Aguilera.
Oh, that is weird. I wonder why they wouldn't have gotten somebody.
I'm like, that's my generation. Who is this movie for?
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me. Let me tell you that.
It's not
for
me.
It's not for parents. They did not work hard enough to make parents enjoy it. So it's obviously they're doing this for little ones, but they insert these odd choices.
That make it not totally appropriate for little ones.
That make it, or appealing. Like,
yeah.
So many people could have been chosen to sing this new version of the Addams Family song that the kids know.
Yeah.
And they chose Christina Aguilera.
No,
I don't know.
Right.
It was just weird to me. They could have done better.
You know what? They definitely, if there is an Addams Family 3, I hope this is kind of like the Toy Story thing. Remember there was that one Toy Story that, sequel that was kind of like, wah, wah, and then they came back and just hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they decide to have a really long meeting with the writers and they come up with a really interesting premise for the next one.
Okay, so my question to you would be, would you want them to figure out a way to make the Addams Family a family PG type movie, or would you want them to lean into the PG-13?
It obviously doesn't work. Like, if they're trying to go PG, it doesn't work. They need to lean into it and make it dark.
Okay.
I would say go darker, make it for older kids, but make it highly entertaining so that the older kids' parents will want to watch it too.
Yeah. So Netflix needs to take this on then.
Yeah. Go Netflix, go.
Netflix seems to do a good job of making things
a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They go there a little more.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So you guys... I'm curious.
I'm curious if we're, I doubt we're on an island, but we would be interested in hearing your thoughts on this. You can always reach out to us, podcast@shouldtheywatchit.com. We're on Instagram. You can message us anytime through there. There's lots of ways that you can reach us.
Thank you guys so much
for
listening. And did you say leave a 5-star review?
Please leave a 5-star review.
We really, really appreciate those.
Yes.
It is important to our continuation of this. Like,
Yeah.
You know, Apple looks at those things, and
if we're able to continue, it does help us out so much. It does. So much. So, yeah, please do that.
Well.
All right.
Kara, this was fun.
On to the next Halloween-y thing.
Yes. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye.